Does this sound at all familiar? Snoring. Is it a minor irritation or a major issue? It's such an ordinary part of people's lives that it's easy to become complacent about it. But is snoring just a harmless part of the sleep soundscape? Or does all that sound and fury signify something? It's estimated that almost 60% of men, 40% of women, and more than 25% of children snore. As a person relaxes during sleep, the muscles in the throat loosen and narrow the airway. Then, when the person breathes, it causes the limp tissue to flutter like a flag in the wind, generating the familiar rattling sounds of snoring. Things that can increase the likelihood of snoring include nasal congestion or obstruction, having allergies, nasal polyps, or a deviated septum can limit the amount of air that's able to flow through the nose. A deviated septum occurs when the thin cartilage divider between the nasal passages is off-center or crooked. This makes one of the passages smaller and therefore harder to breathe through. Challenging anatomy can also increase the likelihood of snoring. What this means is that the size and shape of muscles and tissues in the neck can impact snoring. Some people just have large tonsils, tongues, or soft palates. That's the muscular part at the back of the roof of the mouth. It sits right behind the hard palate, which is the bony part of the roof of the mouth. These anatomical structures can all block airflow. Additionally, the size and location of the jaw can cause the tongue to collapse backward, also blocking the airway. Another thing that can increase the likelihood of snoring happening is consuming alcohol or using sedative medications. These both cause the muscles to relax, and that includes muscles of the mouth, jaw, and throat. Alcohol also causes nasal irritation and throat dryness. This increases airway resistance and makes breathing more difficult. Pregnancy. Changes during pregnancy contribute to snoring in a couple of ways. First, the amount of blood in a pregnant person's body increases, causing blood vessels to expand and nasal passages to become swollen. Secondly, weight gain increases the tissue in the throat and neck and narrows the upper airway. And being overweight can cause snoring for anyone, not just pregnant people. It's easy for us to see where adipose tissue, also called fat, is located when it's stored near the outside of our bodies. However, it's also deposited on the inside of our bodies, around our internal organs, and inside our neck and throat. This increases the amount of soft tissue and crowds breathing passages, again, reducing the amount of air that can get through. Snoring could be no problem at all, a minor irritation, or a major issue, depending on its type, severity, and frequency. So let's think about soft, sporadic snoring. This is normal and doesn't require any intervention, as long as it's not bothering your bed partner. Primary snoring happens more than 3 nights a week. It can be more disruptive to a bed partner, but isn't cause for concern, unless there are signs that sleep quality or quantity is being diminished. Oh, but sleep apnea snoring. It is loud. There are moments when breathing stops, followed by gasps for air. These signal a serious and potentially deadly sleep disorder. Also, be on the watch for symptoms like daytime drowsiness, high blood pressure, nighttime teeth grinding, frequent nighttime urination, difficulty focusing or brain fog, waking with a dry mouth, and morning headaches and congestion. While not everyone that snores has sleep apnea, almost everyone that has sleep apnea snores. So what does this mean? When is snoring not just snoring? As we've already talked about, when it's intense, accompanied by other signs such as moments when breathing stop, gasping for air, waking up with a dry mouth or headache, difficulty staying asleep, difficulty staying awake, or paying attention during the day, or irritability. These can all be signs and symptoms of a serious sleep disorder called sleep apnea. There are three types. The most common is called obstructive sleep apnea, OSA. It's caused by the soft tissues of the throat blocking airflow. There are factors that can increase the risk. One is excess weight. Fat deposits in the neck and throat can obstruct the airway. Lack of sleep can disrupt hormones that affect appetite and lead to overeating. Sleep deprivation can also cause metabolism to slow and cravings to increase. And lastly, exhaustion makes being physically active difficult. Put this all together, and it can create a vicious cycle. Another factor is neck circumference. People with thicker necks can have more narrow airways. Additionally, being older and being male can be factors in sleep apnea. Women increase their risk if they're overweight or postmenopausal. What about using alcohol, sedatives, or tranquilizers? All of these relax the throat muscles, and we know what that does. Smoking. This increases inflammation and fluid retention in the upper airway. Nasal congestion. Difficulty breathing through the nose increases the likelihood of developing obstructive sleep apnea. And certain medical conditions, such as congestive heart failure, high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, Parkinson's disease, polycystic ovary syndrome, hormonal disorders, prior stroke, and chronic lung diseases such as asthma can all increase the risk of sleep apnea. However, it's possible to have OSA and none of these listed risk factors. If someone snores, has pauses in breathing while sleeping, and has excessive daytime drowsiness, OSA should be considered as a possible cause. There's a less common form of sleep apnea called central sleep apnea. In this, the airway is open, but the brain doesn't send the right signals to the muscles that control breathing. This type can occur as a result of heart failure, brain tumors, brain infection, stroke, or from using narcotic pain medications. And it doesn't involve snoring. The third type is called complex sleep apnea syndrome. And this happens when someone has both obstructive and central sleep apnea. None of the forms of sleep apnea should be taken lightly. They are all serious medical conditions with potentially deadly complications, such as daytime fatigue. Having sleep disturbed dozens or even hundreds of times a night makes normal, restorative sleep impossible. This, in turn, makes severe daytime drowsiness, fatigue, and irritability much more likely. Another complication that's possible is type 2 diabetes and metabolic syndrome. Having sleep apnea increases the risk of developing insulin resistance. Metabolic syndrome is a combination of high blood pressure, abnormal cholesterol levels, high blood sugar, and an increased waist circumference. People with this syndrome have a higher risk of heart disease. Additionally, high blood pressure or heart problems are potential complications. When someone repeatedly stops breathing, it can cause sudden drops in blood oxygen levels. This increases blood pressure and strains the whole cardiovascular system. Obstructive sleep apnea can also increase the risk of recurrent heart attack, stroke, and abnormal heartbeats. If someone already has heart disease, repeated bouts of low blood oxygen can lead to sudden death from an irregular heartbeat. Complications with surgery are another possibility. People with sleep apnea can be more likely to have complications with major surgery because they're already prone to breathing problems, and then they're sedated and lying on their backs, all of which makes sleep apnea worse. If you have sleep apnea, before you have surgery, tell your doctor and how you're treating it. Additional complications can come from liver problems. People with sleep apnea are more likely to have abnormal results on tests of liver function, and their livers are more likely to have scarring, which is also referred to as non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And a final complication is having a sleep-deprived partner. A person's sleep apnea doesn't just impact the one that's snoring. It prevents anyone sleeping nearby from getting the sleep that they need to protect their own health. So what are treatment options? Mild cases of sleep apnea can be treated with lifestyle changes, such as losing weight, quitting smoking, or getting treatment for allergies. There are mouth and throat exercises that can tone up muscles in the airway and keep them from vibrating during sleep. Devices such as anti-snoring mouthpieces and CPAP machines can help keep the airway open and make breathing easier. If you are struggling with snoring or sleep apnea, please reach out to your primary care provider at Sawtooth Mountain Clinic. They can help you figure out the cause of your snoring so you can get back on track to a good night's sleep. If you'd like to learn more, check out the written version of this topic of the month. It has links to all the resources that I used in creating it. All you have to do is visit our website, www.sawtoothmountainclinic.org. Then search Topic of the Month. You'll find our whole library of issues. And there's over 60 now. Thank you for listening.